Good afternoon and welcome to Frederick County Sports Weekend. I'm Ed Lilly with Pete McLeod. Pete will be back next weekend. We're brought to you by Nemeo Federal Credit Union. And today's guest is head football coach Daryl Hayes of St. John's Catholic Prep School. And he's getting ready to start a brand new football season. And welcome, Coach Hayes.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Football is not the sport that you expect to have where you go for a lot of schools and you've got your own facility and you play games. For you guys, you had your own facility when you were at Prospect Hall. Not a great one, but you played games. I think you played some games there, no?
This is only my second year, but I coached against St. John's in 2003.
And you played at McCurdy?
And we played at McCurdy. And
okay.
That was when Brandon Monroe and Rodney Monroe's son played for St. John's.
They haven't had a facility now. And they've been playing at McCurdy. And you're playing at McCurdy this year.
Yes, sir.
But you have a brand new school off Route 85 in Buckystown.
Yes, sir.
And you were telling me, we were talking about this before we started the show, and you were saying how nice it is out in Buckystown and how well the school's located there and how pretty it is. Could you describe that?
Well, if you go down 85 and you pass all the Westview stuff, go past English Muffin and all that, all the sort of light industrial things there, it kind of opens up past Limekiln there, and it's just you're in the country again. And, 85 becomes a two-lane road, and then we're there on the left. I think the building's only been there 6 years, maybe. It's less than a decade old, and still new and shiny, and it's a great building. And then we have a ton of land there. Out back we have the bunch of fields and playing fields and things like that, but more practice fields. And then we look and we can the Monocacy runs, just past our land out back. So it's a nice campus. Certainly meets our needs. Exceeds our needs in some ways because we do have a ton of land there, but it's a great place.
Now, how did you come to be the head coach there? And this happened 2 years ago now, right?
Yes, sir. I had been coaching at Shepherd for a decade or so, and then I took just wanted to get back into high school coaching, and my sons were getting to the age when I was able to start coaching them, spending more time with them. And college coaching is tremendous, wonderful opportunity. I love coaching at Shepherd, love those guys down there. But as your sons get older, you kind of get the itch to coach them. So I took a job at Washington High School in Charlestown, and public school is really perhaps not my thing. I think I need to be surrounded by smart kids doing smart kid things. And then the St. John's job came open, and I applied for it. And apparently, from my understanding, there were several dozen people applied for it, and I was truly blessed to get the opportunity to be the head football coach there. And it's only that I think, correct me, I know that Coach Ricka started, and he left for a while to go coach his son in college, and then Coach Ward took over, and then I think Coach Ricka came back. I don't know if there's another coach, but I may be the third head coach or maybe the fourth. But I'm truly blessed at the opportunity. I think the first season was 2002. So we still have some growing pains and ordering things. And football is sort of a labor-intensive, you need lots of stuff. There's lots of moving parts. So trying to be the proactive leader and say, hey, we really do need shoulder pads and we really do need a football this year.
We were talking a little bit before that we started the show, and you were telling me right now you guys don't have locker rooms and you have a weight closet, you said. You don't really have a weight room. But all those things the ground's being broken as we speak, right?
From my understanding, the ground will be broken tomorrow. If not tomorrow, Monday. I know that they came out and they sprayed the ground with the orange paint and put the safety, the safety tape around it and things like that. So it's in the pressing days. We will have two locker rooms, a boys' locker room, girls' locker room, which we really don't have on campus now. And then we will have a fitness room, a bona fide weight room, rubber floor, and a really nice one that sort of befits the rest of our campus. Our rest of our campus is aesthetically very nice. And then they kind of retrofitted a classroom slash closet for the weight room, and which we're blessed to have. I don't appear ungrateful, but now we have a legitimate training facility for varsity sports, and also just a fitness center for the general population as well.
So your background, you played high school football at Hedgesville?
Yes, sir.
And I might have seen you play because my brother-in-law used to be the JV coach for Frederick High.
Okay.
And we used to go over and scout you guys sometimes. So I've been to games there. A lot of enthusiasm in that area for football, too. It's one of those communities where they get around and support the team. And then you were at Shepherd.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we were talking about all the people from Frederick County that are at Shepherd and that were successful in Frederick County and then went on and were successful. Shepherd's had a great program under Coach Cater.
I played for Coach Cater in the 90s. He's been there since 86. So, you know, if you look back, the connection with this area, you know, Washington County, Frederick County, you know, my quarterback was Jay Mason. You know, he's run for office and things like that. You know, and since then, there's been dozens of Frederick and Frederick County folks. Bobby Humphreys was an All-American for us, played at TJ, and the current defensive coordinator, Shepherd, was an outstanding player at Middletown High School, Josh Klein. So, you know, it's the great tradition. You know, it's good football. You know, and it's Ernie McCook is the offensive coordinator there. Josh Klein's a defensive coordinator there, and Monty Cater is the head coach. And you know, I try my very, very best to emulate what they do in regard to discipline and structure, and sort of a take football seriously, but do it with kindness and respect. And that's sort of what we model at our school. But hold them accountable and hold them to the line. And this is what you need to do. And that's the way they do it down there. And we try to do the same here. In fact, we run. Even with the terminology, our offense is nearly identical, and the defense is identical to what they're playing at Shepherd. You know, our even front, and basically we run an under front with high safety. So it's what they run, and that's what we try to do top to bottom. You know, Shepherd plays for national championships, and last year we were blessed to play for a state championship, and we're blessed enough to win it.
Well, you came in last year in a program that was, shall we say, in turmoil.
I think that's putting it politely.
And people really didn't expect much. And you managed to win six games, go to the championship game, and win it.
We got some lucky bounces, and we worked very hard. I think last year going into the season, with some huge departures, I mean, obviously the entire coaching staff, but then a tremendous amount of talent. And then just days before camp started, you know, every statistical leader we had left, you know, just days.
Wow.
And it's hard at St. John's because we are an academic school, and sometimes we don't that doesn't fit the needs and wants of every learner. So kids leave, and, you know, not because they're bad kids, just because being inundated with a college prep environment where everyone's going to college is not for everyone.
Right. So, let's say that again, so make it clear. You guys expect 100% of your graduates to go to college.
We have 100% college acceptance, yes.
That's an outstanding statistic. So it's safe to say that academics is number one.
Well, I mean, I think our Catholic identity and academics, I think are, you know, we have several pillars that but academics and Christ-like virtues and things like that are things that we aspire to, and you know, certainly my personal life. It's what I aspire to, and I want for my children. And we don't pretend that we're anything else. We're not a 1,500 person school with 10 Division I kids on it. We're not a, you know, it's not who we are. We're a high academic, high character school. And you know, I'm blessed to be part of the organization and blessed to be part of the part of the football tradition there that Coach Ricka started 10-12 years ago. And that's what I hope to continue.
Well, I'm sure you're happy though with the championship.
Yeah, that's good stuff. It's you know, it's funny. We look at the banners, and it's so many basketball banners for all those years of greatness. And there's only four football numbers sewn on there, and I'm very pleased. I mean, pride is an unusual thing, but I'm very, very happy for the children, happy for the organization, happy for the school that we can have that fourth year. I mean, 2016 is sewn prominently there, and I tell my boys all the time, I said, where do you want your trophy? Where do you want your banner? Where do you want your ring? because somebody's going to sew it on a banner in somebody's gym, and it might as well be ours. And I tell kids all the time, when 20 years from now, you're not going to remember working hard every day and sweating and a little bit of pain you have with your fingers and bumps and bruises and so on. But you're going to look up at that banner and know that was your year sewn there. That was, I did that. And you look at your left and your right, your brothers, you did that. And that's what we try to do and try to instill, is that be part of something bigger than yourself. And, you know, quite literally, I have a mission that we spread the word, and we spread the word of Christ, and we spread the American football. And I wholeheartedly believe that football is unique among all sports, because it's the only really true team sport. It's the only sport you can't do by yourself. You can pitch at a machine. You can throw a ball into a bucket. You can kick a soccer ball or volleyball. You can do all these sports individually in the primary sports, but you can neither block nor tackle by yourself. So football requires team and enforces team, and it is team. And that's you know, I am a standard bearer. I think Friday Night Lights is such a uniquely American experience that it should be shared. It makes character, it reveals character. All the things that football does and is all remarkable. And the orchestration, it's a symphony. It's a perfect cacophony of things working together, if you will. And that's what we try to do, and I try to do. And I've lived 25 years of my life and was been blessed to coach football on 5 continents. And this is my 4th head coaching stop. And this is where we want to be and what we want to do.
And we talked a little bit before about, you've got a guy that's from Chile, I believe.
We do.
He's up here learning about football as an assistant coach.
Part of my mission is, I run a mission where I spread the word of Christ and teach American football at places that have historically not known football. I've been to Nigeria, I've been to Ghana, been Europe, and now I've partnered with a group out of Chile, the nation of Chile, and I've been blessed to go there twice. And now I have a coaching intern, one of my members of my coaching staff, and I had one last year, and we have one again this year, and he'll go back and be part of the Chilean national football team and coach children. And they have a unique approach, because they're starting football in flag, and it's sort of a gender issue, because they don't have women's sports as developed as we have here. So women's flag football has taken off there.
Wow.
Like a rocket ship. And what they're doing is they're marketing flag football to children under the teen years, and then to girls under the teen years, and then adult women. And then obviously, because helmets and shoulder pads are expensive, we sent a shipping container down last year to them, which is donations from local donations and old things and things like that. So that's on the ground now. Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania equipment that we bought or had donated or pulled out of the dumpsters and down there now. And I believe wholeheartedly in the potential of this game and see it as a worldwide endeavor. I think that, and quite frankly, I believe that football is under attack. I mean, right now,
I think there's no question.
I think right now, football is vilified in the media as concussion this and concussion that. And obviously, we want to take those things very seriously. But if you look at the actual per capita injury rate, head injury rate, football is like number 8, depending on your metric, with girls soccer and boys soccer being in the top 3. And I'm not anti-soccer, but this, I think there is an effort to minimize things which are historically American and historically tough and rough. And I think football, unfortunately, gets a lot of the blame for that. And with teaching tackling techniques that we use now in the last 10 years or so, and the sort of the expense of the new helmets, the concussion risk is almost mitigated. It's almost not zero, because inherently there's risk, but there's also risk if I were to fall off the stoop leaving the studio and bump my head. So that inherently, there's inherent risk in that as well. But, I don't understand. I can't, as an objective consumer of information, figure why football is vilified so much, unless there's some sort of conspiracy against that which is tough and masculine and things like that. And I think football, unfortunately, gets a bad rap. And if anyone understood the game for what it is, it teaches teamwork, it teaches toughness, it teaches strength. All the virtues that were once valued of young men in our society, which are now sort of marginalized, are typified by football.
Football's not a sport that gives an award for showing up.
No, there are no participation trophies in football, and it's a things like that. Ties are sort of a foreign concept, and there are things that typify Friday Night Lights that are American, and unfortunately, and I'm unapologetically American, that we are to apologize sometimes for being Americans, for taking pride in red, white, and blue, and taking pride in what our forefathers did. And football stands against that. Football is tough. Football is Friday night. Football is America. And we, as a culture, either decide to embrace that which makes us great, or we turn our back to that which made us great. And, you know, I'm decidedly on one side there. and I'm not anti anything. I'm just pro football, and I'm pro American, and I think they go hand in hand. There's nothing greater than going out to Middletown or Linganore on a Friday night and seeing two teams of gentlemen play a barbaric sport, you know. And that's what I tell my guys all the time. We are blessed with the opportunity to play this wonderful game. That's what we do.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Frederick County Sports Weekend on AM 930, Free Talk Radio, WFMD. And this is Ed Lilly and Pete McLeod with Frederick County Sports Weekend, brought to you by Nimio Federal Credit Union. Pete will be back next week. And I'm speaking with Coach Daryl Hayes, who is the head football coach of the St. John's Catholic Prep men's football team. And, Coach, I know a lot of our listeners completely agree with you, but let me ask you a few questions about – you've got a new stadium coming – okay, and I know that's got to be exciting. You've got facilities that are going up. You've got a location, I think, where you said you can see the Monocacy River.
It's on the back edge of our property. It's actually down a ravine, but
you can't see it.
We know it's back there.
But it's a beautiful area. It really is.
It is.
And do you know if you're going to get lights there?
From my understanding, the architect I don't know all the legal mumbo jumbo, but. The bonds have passed. Dr. Powell, our headmaster, president model, said today in a faculty meeting that we should break ground in February and hopefully have it finished by summer of 2018. Now, unfortunately, the girls and boys lacrosse programs, I don't know they're going to be on it for next season, but I think for soccer season and football season next year, so 2018 girls soccer, boys soccer, and football season, we hope to be on the turf, bleachers, a press box, so perhaps we can get you guys to cover a game for us.
We will if we can.
And a scoreboard and the whole business. I think it's going to help our pool in the community. I mean, obviously we are the premier academic destination in Central Maryland, but we also want to have facilities that befit that. So I think football. Or a stadium. I say football because I'm obviously the football coach, but I think having an on-campus soccer, lacrosse, football facility is going to help us. I think that is where we want to be and the image we want to put forth as, you know, obviously an academic school, obviously as a school with a Catholic mission, but also a school that values, you know, extracurriculars or co-curriculars, as we say.
Coach, it's so exciting to me to see someone coming into the season with enthusiasm. And I've got to tell you, all the coaches we've interviewed, everybody's been enthusiastic. I mean, I think it's something about the position. But you're also the vice principal.
I am.
And you were saying you like what you've seen and everything so much, your son's going to come play. Is that right?
It is. I'm in my second year there full-time, and I was assistant principal last year. And I'm the campus disciplinarian, which sounds like a daunting task, but the hardest part of my day is really telling kids to tuck their shirts in and take in if a boy has an earring or something. But that sort of thing is the hardest thing. And, you know, we don't have the problems that public schools have degenerated to such a degree that this core curriculum, we teach right to test and things like that. And it's unfortunate for our society. But, you know, look at the behavioral consequences, and the teachers are hamstrung, principals are hamstrung in public school. We're not. You know, we take our mission seriously to educate your children and get them to college. And that strikes such a resounding chord for me that I am actually a tuition-paying parent this year. My son will be with us this year. And so the lifelong dream of every coach I've ever met is to coach your son, and I'm blessed to do that this year. My son will be playing for our varsity football team this year, and that's a good thing.
How many kids do you have on the team?
Right now we're at 32. That's, you know, obviously 9 through 12. So we have some older. We have a core group of older kids, 17 or 18, and then we have the younger guys, freshmen, sophomores, that are more of a learning mode now. Mm-hmm. So we try to get them in games on Friday nights, and if we're way up or way down, then we try to get them in. But we're obviously in a teaching mode. We do things a little differently in that everyone learns two positions and everyone goes through the drill work. We don't marginalize or set people aside. Everyone learns. Because I hold that if you put the helmet on, eventually we're going to find you a spot. So it may not be your freshman year, your sophomore year, but by the time you're there 3 or 4 years, we're going to have a home for you. And we're going to teach you. We have sound teaching progressions, the most modern progressions, teach the modern tackling techniques and things like that. So if you're in the program, you're going to play. And that's we take very seriously. I think it's tempting a lot of times just to coach your superstars, your blue chippers, and sort of let the other kids hold bags. And we certainly don't subscribe to that. You know, every member, all 32 members of our team have value to us, obviously because they're great citizens, but also as players. You know, you could be the smallest guy with the slowest foot speed, and we're still going to find a place for you. And that's exciting. You know, the upcoming season is obviously exciting, but the excitement of seeing new faces and new bodies. We ended the season with 21 kids last year, and that was good because the previous year they ended with 17. So now we're starting with 32, and we're just blessed and beyond excited to have this number and hopefully 40 next year and things like that. But the AFCA says that if you have 10% of your school wearing a helmet, it's a marker of a healthy school, not just sports-wise, but also behavior and things like that. Well, we've exceeded that. We're at 300 students, and we have 32 kids. So,
and I suspect that once you get the facilities in, you may get it may attract some.
Well, I hope.
Let me talk real, because we're already running out of time, your schedule coming up. When this show airs, you have already played your first game against John Carroll, and that's at McCurdy Field. And we were talking about it's a switch this year because you're actually having your first game before the school starts.
Yes, coming having grown up in West Virginia and coached in West Virginia for a few years, it's very common to have your first game in the summer, you know, before the school starts, before the classes start. So this is a new experience here in Maryland. So it's kind of exciting. Kind of the unknown is we can hype a game all week and the students all show up. I don't know how we're going to hype it now. So it's
because they're not there yet.
Yeah, they're not there yet. So it's going to be fun. Obviously, as a dad and as a teacher and an educator, those couple extra weeks and going after Labor Day, Governor Hogan did a wonderful thing. But as a football coach, you kind of like, uh-oh, wait a minute, what just happened? but no, I think it's a good thing. We opened up with John Carroll 2 years ago. They were Class B champions, and we are obviously Class C. Maryland Interscholastic Athletic Association, MIAC, and they are Class B. So their enrollment, I believe, is about three times our size, and they were 2 years ago Class B champions. So I don't know if we bit off more than we can chew. I mean, when this airs, we'll have known, but we think we match up well. We hope we match up well, but they have a ginormous quarterback. It's one of the Ishmael brothers, and his name is Kadir Ishmael, and I think it's Quadri Ishmael's son, if you remember back the Syracuse star.
Yeah, they call him on the Ravens Super Bowl team. Mm-hmm.
So
first Super Bowl team.
So he's a quarterback there. He's about 6'8", about 220. On film, can throw like 65 yards. I mean, wow. I'm not so sure I could run 65 yards now. So that's a scary thing. We open up with them at McCurdy on the 1st at 6 p.m.
And this will air on the 3rd. So, mm-hmm. And then on the 8th, which is upcoming Friday, you're going to have Friends School of Baltimore come and visit McCurdy. On the 15th, St. James School is coming to visit you again, and that's a 6 p.m. game. And then you go to Concordia Prep at 4 p.m. That's an away game.
Yes, sir.
And then on the 29th, Friends School of Baltimore, you go there for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, on the 6th of October, you have another away game, and that is an afternoon game at 3 p.m. at Annapolis Area Christian School.
Yes.
And then after that, you on the Friday the 13th of October, 6 p.m., you're back home, and it's been a long away trip there. You're back at McCurdy Field at 6 p.m. for Our Lady of Mount Carmel. On the 21st, you're against Maryland Christian Academy. Once again, you're away for that game. Then you come back on the 27th for Annapolis Area Christian School, coming to visit you after you visited them at McCurdy Field at 6 p.m. And then on the third day of November at 7 p.m., you're away at a 7 p.m. game. I already said that, at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And that's your last game of the regular season, and then you're in playoffs.
If we're blessed to be there, if we're in the top two teams in division, we get in the playoffs. It's a one-game sort of semifinal, final together. Last year, we were blessed to get in there with a couple of lucky ball bounces, and Lord was willing, and we got
and
in.
And you won. You've got a championship.
And we did win. We have rings and trophies and banners to prove it. So it's good stuff. And we hope if we stay injury-free and the ball bounces our way again, we hope to have success. And obviously the measure of success is not wins and losses for a school like ours. The measure is if we can put good boys on the field doing good things. And I hold that if with sound teaching progressions and teaching good character, the kids do win. I've never seen a place where that didn't work in college or high school or wherever. If you teach good kids to do good things and work very hard and inevitably, or eventually, I guess a more fair thing to say, you will win. And I hold that. And it's culture shock for some kids that, like, wait a minute, what, you practice every day? What, you do teaching progressions every day? Yes, every day. And you watch film and you do all the things you're supposed to do, and eventually you win.
I hate to say it, Coach, but we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming. Real quick, can you give the website for your school?
It's stjohnsprep.org. Saint is spelled out S-A-I-N-T.
stjohnsprep.org. You can get schedules and details on how to get to the games and so forth.
Yes, sir.
I hope you'll do that. You've been listening to Frederick County Sports Weekend on WFMD, brought to you by Nimio Federal Credit Union. For Pete McLeod, I'm Ed Lulley. And for Coach Daryl Hayes, thank you for coming, of St. John's Catholic Prep. Thank you for listening, and I hope you've had a wonderful day, and I hope you have a safe afternoon, and we'll come back and listen to us again next week.